Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, editor at that website. With me, as always, my co-host Nick Mason is here.
It's me. How's your leg? Because last week...
It's all right.
If you recall, I don't know if you recall the incredible pain of last week, but you twisted your ankle just before recording last week's show.
It cracked and I went down. Dog ate my toast.
Great, fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Is it, though?
Well, I haven't run on it yet, but I've been, you know...
Did you go to the doctor?
No.
No, why? Nobody in your family goes to the doctor for anything, I've noticed. What? Well, a while back I had like a migraine and I went, that was at your brother's house. You got anything for that? And he's like, no.
And he gets severe migraines.
Yeah, but he won't. Yeah, anyway, look, what I'm saying is you probably mangled that horribly and you should see a doctor.
I'll be fine.
Like, I twisted this. This isn't related to comic book movie news, which is what
everything.
We're about. But I twisted this ankle a couple of times and I never went to the doctor and now it clicks when I move it. So...
I don't know what to tell you.
You can probably hear it on our new equipment. There it is.
Jesus.
I know, right? It's pretty bad.
Yeah, maybe one day. Look, if it gets worse.
Yeah.
But it's gotten better. So why would I go to the doctor?
Fine.
Bloody hell, mate. Just walk it off.
Yeah, good point.
Well, so we do movies and comic books and stuff, don't we?
Absolutely.
And that's what this show is.
Yes.
So
good intro for new listeners.
Go to
what
the doctor.
What if we're just an aches and pains podcast? James and Mason complain about things.
Just grumblings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James and Mason slowly disintegrate the podcast.
So yeah, did you see Ryan
Seacrest?
Ryan Seacrest is dead.
Huh.
Didn't go to the doctor.
Exactly.
Because he's getting shorter and shorter and he disappeared.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, Ryan Reynolds posted a picture of him with a prototype Deadpool mask.
Ooh, how's
and
it look?
It's a sepia tone. It looks fine. It looks like it's clearly not like they're not going to go a CGI mask, which is
good,
smart.
Excellent.
No, it's fine. You know, you see some gloves there. It's fine. Yeah, it's good. Right. It's good that.
So you think it'll just be mask and gloves and abs?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you're saying that?
That was nearly the other Deadpool costume.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. So you're saying clearly Green Lantern has made Ryan Reynolds completely shy away from CGI costumes.
I would say so, yeah. I mean, why would they do this one CGI? There's no reason that
you
would.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, no, it looks fine.
Hmm.
It looks something, you know, from that. We'll see
do
that.
Do you have a photo of it there?
I don't, but I can use this internet machine to open up Ryan Reynolds Deadpool Twitter. I have to talk about that when I type into Google. Here it is. So you can see the eye. You can see Ryan Reynolds.
Yep, it looks fine.
Doesn't it?
Great. And it's a little bit arty.
It's a little bit arty, isn't it?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Do you ever put a sepia tone filter on your Instagram photos? Do you have an Instagram?
I do, but it's got like 6 photos on it.
Are any of them of me?
Yeah, they're all of you.
With gloves and a mask.
Yeah, right? Sleeping also.
Great. Speaking of news of Fox and whatever and Marvel characters.
Sure, good segue.
Patrick Stewart has revealed that the next Wolverine solo movie will be a Patrick Stewart, will be an, Professor Xavier Wolverine movie.
Huh.
And set in a setting we haven't seen before, which has led people to believe that it's an Old Man Logan story. Or the with different characters. Because Old Man Logan from the comic, we talked about last week, features like Hawkeye and Hulk and a bunch of other characters that they can't use. So I would love to see an Old Man Logan movie. I mean, even if it's like this, whatever. I don't know how that explains the timeline of it, because it's set in a parallel alternate dimension.
Where I reckon it's just set after X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I think actually...
I reckon it's a Wolverine Professor X road movie. They got themselves a pickup truck and a monkey. And they're just,
like Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, they're just driving across America.
That'd be pretty good. Mm. Yeah. Is it like a comic book monkey or just, no, just a monkey? Like a new monkey for film.
Maybe they can license out Gorilla Grodd.
Sure.
From DC. And
or Detective Chimp.
Detective Chimp, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, okay, great.
He actually makes an appearance in the Injustice comics.
Yeah, he does too, yeah.
It's a bit where, I can't remember who's driving. I think it might have been Constantine just driving. Or he's in the cabin, they look back, and in the back there's Batman sitting there, all gruff next to Detective Chimp. And they're just like, that's pretty good.
It is good.
Yeah, so that'd be pretty cool. I'd be happy with that. I think somebody mentioned maybe it could be set in the Days of Future Past timeline in the future if everything went bad. So all the villain, or everybody's wiped out, and it's just Professor X and Wolverine.
Huh.
So it's an alternate. If they didn't time travel, that's what maybe would have happened.
That seems like... I don't think you could sell that as a movie for the general public.
So it'd be like, listen, so if you guys remember in the last movie...
We did some time traveling and then we altered the timeline. Well, now we're going to say, what if the timeline wasn't altered? And it's bad, the bad... No, nobody's going to buy that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
So then they'll just go, so this is the future and everyone's dead. And now we know where that universe goes.
Well, it's weird that... The X-Men movies have now covered basically all, every time period is covered.
Yeah.
So we know now that, like, if they insert certain character, like a new movie anywhere in that timeline, you know who's going to live and who's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
exactly.
If you put it, you know, after X-Men 3 or whatever, you know Wolverine can't die and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the new Apocalypse movie that's coming out soon, we know that none of the characters in, we know the world can't end, certainly.
Yeah. And all the characters we saw in the end of that Days of Future Past, we know can't die. So Jean Grey and Cyclops and Professor X and Wolverine and Storm and Beast. And probably some... Kelsey Grammer's Beast.
Yes,
which
precisely.
Is the best Beast.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Nicholas Holt is great, but yeah, he's very jovial and I like that.
Mm. Oh, Wolverine.
It's really just if Fraser was a blue... Monkey
precisely,
man. That's fine. Yeah. I'm absolutely okay with that. Mm. That's a great piece of casting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Matthew Vaughn also mentioned in his version of Days of Future Past,
yes,
when Wolverine travels back through time, they would have used two actors and they would have used a younger actor to play younger Wolverine, which doesn't make sense with the X-Men Origins timeline, but who cares?
No, because then he would have gotten younger in the interim.
Yeah, exactly.
Time period. Yeah, that wouldn't have made any sense.
And also,
shut up, Vaughn. What do you know about anything?
And also, in The Wolverine, you see him in World War II, and he's Hugh Jackman.
Mm.
So I guess none of that makes any sense.
Not at all.
I think they were probably just looking for a way to go, how can we get rid of Hugh Jackman? Because he's really expensive, and everybody's young now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, he's great, so I'm happy to just keep seeing Hugh Jackman. Yeah.
How much could he possibly cost?
I don't know, probably at least $5 million, I reckon, a movie.
That's not that much.
You don't reckon?
Nah.
If you're Hugh Jackman, call in.
Yeah.
Tell us what you make.
Yeah, please. Down to the dollar. That would be great.
I'm sure there'd be a way to look it up.
Hmm.
You don't reckon you'd get $5 million for an X-Men
movie? I'm
going to
look it up while you talk about whatever other news
okay.
You're talking about.
Well, speaking of, remember we talked about Old Man Logan last week as well.
Yes.
They are, you know, Battle World, how that's happening, and they're doing a new Planet Hulk and a new Old Man Logan.
Uh-huh.
Planet Hulk is set in a world, like a wasteland, where there's multiple Hulks.
Uh-huh.
And it's Captain America with his shield and an axe with a dinosaur. I can't remember the name of.
Is he red?
Yeah.
Devil Dinosaur.
Devil Dinosaur, that's it. And they're just battling. And they're just battling Hulks.
Uh-huh.
So that's Planet Hulk. And Old Man Logan will be a continuation of Old Man Logan.
Right.
But I think it's Mark Waid. It's not Mark Millar.
Okay.
Or Mark Miller. Either of those.
Either of those guys.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you find it?
This says that Hugh Jackman has banked $55 million in the past 12 months. So he's doing all right.
So that's definitely more than $5 million
a
movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, in your face.
It is in
if
my face.
If you're Hugh Jackman, call in and make fun of Mason.
Please do. I've made some terrible mistakes.
Yeah. Do you remember a few weeks back some concept art was released for Neil Blomkamp wanted to make an alien movie.
Oh, yes.
And he just, as this kind of side project, he just commissioned some art for for an alien sequel.
Yes.
Which had Sigourney Weaver in it and Michael Biehn and a bunch of other characters, which I guess would mean that Alien 3 and 4 aren't in canon because Michael Biehn dies.
Finally.
Yeah, Michael Biehn dies in 3 or in between. But also in that Alien Colonial Marines, they bring him back. So it's a different guy in the chamber. So if you take that as canon.
Yeah. Look, again, I see why this wasn't greenlit by the studios.
Well, it was.
Because he came in directly after the other guy pitching the Days of Future Past alternate future. They pushed him out the door and then Blomkamp came in. He's like, okay, so. Wait, South African accent. Okay, so now we're going to do it. And he'd be like, yeah, you know.
I understand.
Yeah.
I get you. But he didn't pitch this.
Uh-huh.
And it was only that, and then because he worked with Sigourney Weaver on, what's Chappie, because she's in that.
Yeah.
That
we bring back Sigourney Weaver. No, sorry.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know if it's accurate, but I find it amusing.
It's funny, isn't it? They talk funny, don't they?
And that's coming from two guys who don't talk funny.
Because we don't have accents. That's right. Because Australians don't have accents.
That's it. Yeah, so Sigourney Weaver was on board, and apparently he's like, yeah, I'd still love to do it. So maybe there's some interest there from Fox. Uh-huh. I think they should absolutely make it. Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, okay.
Making an alien
He's only
sequel.
Really got one trick.
What's that?
It's the
sadness in South Africa in the
yes,
future.
Yes, exactly. Sadness in South Africa in the future.
Yeah, but, you know, he's good at that, isn't he?
Yeah, but how are you going to introduce the alien mythos to that?
I don't know. Just everyone's South African. Just...
Oh, good point.
That's all you need.
Get away from her, you bitch. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, that'd work. I'm on board now.
Lando Calrissian has come out.
Game over, man! Game over. Okay.
Lando Calrissian, or the actor who plays the Billy Dee Williams, has come out and confirmed that he's not in Star Wars Episode 7.
Mm.
But he said, look, he can't really say anything, but he's probably in the other ones. Because he wasn't in the
That is wishful fan thing. Like, what has happened there is he's sat around waiting for a call.
You did Dancing with the Stars.
Did Dancing with the Stars? No, I did not see that.
Quite painful.
Ooh.
Everybody Google Billy Dee Williams Dancing with the Stars.
Did he injure himself?
No, but he's in the Lando Calrissian costume. And it's...
Which is sort of a bolero kind of situation.
Sure.
But what's happened is he's waited around for a phone call for Episode 7.
Yeah.
He's like, well, everybody else got one. I'm going to get one.
Yeah.
Didn't get one. And now he's like, well, I'll probably be in the next two. So he's waiting for like a wave of fan reaction.
Oh.
Like, do people go, yeah, we do want... He wants the Facebook groups to come up and the petitions and the blah, blah, blah. So, you know, whoever's in control of it now...
I didn't know you hated the character of Lando Calrissian. Is it because he betrayed Han Solo?
Yes. Yes.
He came good though, didn't he?
Look, I can't really remember.
Yeah, no, I'd like to see him again. Just make him a rebel captain or whatever.
Totally.
Yeah, cool. Bring him back. But like you said, though, he's definitely in the other Star Wars movies as well, some of them. He's definitely in Empire and Return of the Jedi.
He's definitely in those. I've literally seen him in those, yes.
Yeah. Apparently, Joel Kinnaman, who played Robocop in the latest Robocop.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Which was an okay movie.
Sure.
He is the top choice now to play Rick Flag after, I think, well, Tom Hardy dropped out, and I think Jake Gyllenhaal turned it down, possibly. So, yeah, he's fine. I like him.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. I always picture an older guy in that role, but whatever.
Okay.
Great.
Like a Tom Hardy?
Like a Tom Hardy. Oh, yeah.
What about Chiklis with hair? In the thing costume, but he's got hair.
Yes. Very good. Chomping a cigar. Love it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I guess that's all the news that... Well, it's not all the news, but we just blew through that. That's good. Why pad out something?
Yes, he's Gary Owens, who was the voice of Roger Ramjet, he passed away.
Ah.
I know. Roger Ramjet, also the original Space Ghost.
Really?
Yeah. Which is... I have fond memories of Roger Ramjet because he was the all-American hero who would get his powers from taking drugs.
Yes.
If you recall, he would take a proton energy pill.
And then the folks began to worry.
Precisely.
And then it was on.
Yeah.
What I recall about that is when I saw it when I was really young, and it was still really old when we first saw it, and I was like... This is terrible. What is this?
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand that it was a satire.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then I saw it later. I'm like, oh, this is actually quite good.
Mm, absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm.
I like his hat.
It's a good hat, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like a white pirate.
Oh, my God. That's the secret. Anyway, sad news there. But there
that
you
is
go.
Sad
but,
news, yeah.
Yeah, check out old episodes of... They're probably all on YouTube or something.
Yeah, sure they are.
Yeah. Roger Ramjet.
Roger
pretty
Ramjet.
Great.
Yeah, great theme song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the big news from this week is, though, that Spider-Man has sort of come back to Marvel, sort of.
Okay. So how does this work? Sony is still getting some sort of say in how it's used?
Okay, so this is roughly how it is. It might not be. This is just top of my head stuff, right? So no money changes hands.
Okay, interesting. Okay?
But basically he'll be folded into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all the money that Marvel, that's in the Marvel.
Like a fried egg.
Like a fried egg. Yeah. Just flip right in there.
Yeah.
All the money, all the, if he's in a Marvel movie, Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, like a Civil War or a cameo in the Avengers or whatever, Marvel get that money. If he does a.
And there's an exit poll outside every cinema. Sony are hiring people with clipboards and they're like, what was your favorite part of this movie? Was it? Avengers, or was it Spider-Man? And every time they tick Spider-Man, and Sony gets some money.
That's right. So yeah, so that so they get no money from that. Sony gets no money, and then in all the Sony, all the solo Spider-Man movies, and all the spin-off Spider-Man movies, Sony will make.
Yep.
They get the money from that. But Sony has final creative control. But it sounds as if that Marvel make all the creative decisions. But Sony have to kind of sign off on everything.
Interesting.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, the degree of creative control isn't clear, but I would say if they're giving this character to Marvel to use, I'd say it's a lot of creative control.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm guessing.
I reckon if he, based on this, I would suggest that like every scene in, like if a Marvel make a movie in Spider-Man's and if they make Civil
If
War,
a Marvel make a movie.
They make a good movie, molto bene.
Yes.
If they make one with, maybe they make Civil War with Spider-Man in it.
You're killing it with accents today, you know,
I'm so good with accents. This one, other ones. I think every scene that he's in, there'll be like the opportunity to kill him off somehow.
Okay.
Like just because what if you film the entire thing and Sony's like, we don't like it. You're going to have to go back and reshoot the whole thing.
They'd have to have, it'd be a script approval thing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I reckon. Like in every scene, there'll be like a whirling buzzsaw or something, or like a huge chasm or, you know, whatever, just a vat of lava. And then any scene, if they get the phone call from Sony that we want more money or whatever, they just dip him in the lava. They're like, well, Spider-Man's dead in this universe.
You could use his skeleton.
Yeah.
But they say that his first appearance, though, will be in Civil War.
Okay.
Which does worry me a little bit. Uh-huh. Actually, I've got a letter here from Will Hancock. Says, I'm a big fan of the show, and I was wondering what you guys thought of Marvel's Civil War with all the announcements about who will be in it.
A lot of people want to know about that.
The people do want to know that. Correct. What do you think about that?
Well,
look, it was supposed to be a Black Panther. Apparently, there were two scripts written initially.
Yep.
One Spider-Man, one without. And they obviously went with the one without initially.
Mm-hmm.
With the kind of, I'd imagine the character that's kind of torn between Captain America and Iron Man, that would have been Black Panther. That's the way that Well, because when they announced the movie, they brought out Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and the actor who's Sam, I've forgotten, who's playing Black Panther.
Right, okay.
And I think if that had got Spider-Man, they would have said, and this is the new Spider-Man.
That's interesting because Black Panther, he's royalty.
Yes.
Why would he care?
Because he cares about the people. Or he doesn't.
Good point. You've sold me on it.
I don't know.
That's how they pitched it in that long meeting of endless movie pitches that we kept talking about. Yeah. Look, maybe Black Panther cares. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. And they're like, well, it's better than the thing about the aliens and the other thing. So, all right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, but to me, I like the idea. I mean, I know plays a big role in the comics.
Yes.
But I feel like that movie will then become a kind of more of a Spider-Man focused movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'd rather see Iron Man, Captain America, and Black Panther, I guess, because we haven't seen him before.
Right, exactly.
As opposed to Spider-Man. If it's a small role or whatever, great. I mean, this is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be he makes a couple of appearances early out throughout the film.
Yeah.
We get some clues as to what he's about.
Yeah.
And then he appears in like...
Because we haven't seen a lot of Spider-Man, have we? So we don't know...
Correct. That's right. Maybe the first half... Maybe the middle act of Avengers Civil War will be a Spider-Man origin story.
Yeah.
They talk about his parents, what they're all about, what they're up to. Maybe the first half can be... Maybe the first third can be about his parents.
Oh, that'd be great.
Great. Now, but I reckon he'll make a couple of like little we'll get some clues that he's in there. And then maybe he'll appear... In time for the final battle at the end, maybe.
Okay, sure.
Like, so it won't be about him.
Yeah.
But he'd be like, here he is in this universe, maybe.
Or a post-credits?
Yeah, maybe. I think people would want... At this point, I think people want more.
Yeah,
people
fair
will
enough.
Not be
you're
happy
right.
if he's
yeah,
like
he's
in there
just,
for 20 seconds
yeah, you're
at the end.
Probably right. And also, I guess if they put him in this, if this is a... If they're doing Civil War and they put him in, that's a much bigger movie as well.
Mm.
That's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And would make probably more money.
Right. So in the comic books, the comic book version of Civil War.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Comic books.
Yeah, they're for nerds. But let me digress for just a minute. But I
thought people just thought of these movie ideas. No, I didn't know they were based on anything.
No, they're not original content. I don't know if you know that. Yeah.
How come nobody's ever written in and told me that? Hugh Jackman, ring in.
Tell us about comic books. Who's Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, where do you come up with all your ideas for Wolverine, Hugh Jackman? Where do they come from? Is it when you're on your ranch or whatever you have? But in the Civil War comic books,
yeah.
You know, Spider-Man is the linchpin, sort of, you know, does he give up his identity and join up Iron Man, or does he keep it a secret and join Captain America?
Yeah.
I don't think that they can do that in this movie.
Well, because that Spider-Man has been Spider-Maning for, say, at least 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody knows who he is, and he's this public menace on one side, and some people love him, and he's this figure of New York. Yeah. Forget about it.
Precisely.
And so that reveals a bigger deal, but they're talking about here making it a younger Spider-Man again, like a teenage age, high school.
Okay, yeah.
So if he just shows up and then they unmask this 15-year-old kid.
Right, exactly.
And then, you know, he's just up shit creek for the rest of his life.
Right, right.
Can you really do that?
No. I reckon they're going to take as many... Like, I think people are going to want some sort of verbatim adaptation. But I think, you know, most of the Marvel movies so far have taken a lot of liberties.
Yeah.
You know, from Iron Man to whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they've just changed him as needed, and I think they're going to have to do that with this as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man's going to be in it, but it's not going to be his movie.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good.
Yeah.
So, teenage Peter Parker, you okay with that? They mentioned Peter Parker specifically in the press release, but a lot of people are saying Miles Morales, right, which I've thought would be cool as well, but also the argument can be made that his origin is tied directly to that of Spider-Man.
Yes.
Because it's the same spider. Correct. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But could you just say that they both exist in that world and Miles Morales is the figure in Civil War?
Maybe. But again, I think the problem with that is, I think we've mentioned this in the podcast before, the two Spider-Men's costumes are quite different.
Yeah.
And if we see an on-set photo of the sort of the Miles Morales and the black and red suit, that's going to get all on the entertainment gossip news sites and things like that, and it's going to be revealed, and it's not going to be a...
But I'd imagine they just cast him. They'd announce the casting before they started filming, so they know. Or his first costume is a regular Spider-Man costume, and then, you know, how Iron Man gives him a new one, and his new one's kind of an ultimate costume.
Oh, yeah, that could work too. Yeah.
This is from the official junior editor of at that website of the podcast,
John. Been, yep.
Just wanted to see which Peter Parker you'd rather see, high school or grown up. Also, do you think we'll get a fresh story or just the same Spider-Man movie we always get? Thanks to the podcast, James. And Nick, thanks for being a real dickhead. So,
no, that's fair.
said thanks, though.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, he's polite.
Yeah. So, high school age or adult?
Boy, we've seen high school age a lot, haven't we? Yeah,
even though they were played by adults.
Yeah.
But what about like a high school that's actually played by a high school
kid? That would
be
great. I'd like to see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be good because we could, like, because all the heroes in the Marvel Studios movies are adults.
Yeah.
And quite old in a lot of cases. Yeah. Rob Downey Jr. is very old.
Yes, he is.
So it would be, and then we could sort of be like, well, this is the next generation of heroes kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they will get the same Spider-Man stories again and again in the other movies, in the solo movies? So, like, that's been rumored.
Oh, the Sony ones.
The Sony ones.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Surely not, though. I've heard the rumors of Kraven the Hunter. I'd like to see that.
What they're going to do, is that Peter Parker's parents are going to be in Africa and they're going to run into Kraven the Hunter and they're going to, you know, cut out one of his eyes or something like that. And then he's back for revenge and then he kills the parents and then he comes to America to avenge Spider, you know, to kill Spider-Man or whatever.
Just like the movie Coming to America.
Precisely, exactly. It's going to get a job flipping burgers at McDowell's. No, I think if they do it again, Kraven will be involved in the parents and the blah, 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 and somehow in the origin of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He'll have a vial of some sort of mystical chemical that'll get splashed on a spider and then Peter Parker will get spider powers.
Okay, so it's all tied
it's
together.
It's all, they're going to keep doing it.
I think they'll be much smarter about it this time. Like, Avi Arad has taken, like, a back seat. He's like, he's like some minor producer role.
Right.
So apparently he has, like, no say in it, which is great.
Okay.
Because he was the guy as well that was saying, no Miles Morales, Peter Parker's the only Spider-Man, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could bring all sorts of Spider-Men into this. I'm not necessarily saying you'd have to do Miles Morales, but you could... Even
Spider-Ham. That's all I've got.
Spider-Man 2099. Okay. Spider-Woman. Spider-Girl. Wasn't Gwen Stacy a Spider-Man at some point?
She's a parallel universe Spider-Girl. Yeah.
You could do, like, but you know, I'm saying though, even if you start with Peter Parker, you can expand that.
Yep.
And you know what? Spider-Man as well has an amazing roster of villains. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really, the only one I think they've done really well, Willem Dafoe is good as the Green Goblin, but that Green Goblin look sucks.
Correct.
Doc Ock is great.
Yep.
That's really, really good. Sandman is good, but not utilized well enough.
Uh-huh. And they tied him into the origin. They did, yeah.
But everybody else I can take or leave. Like, the Lizard was fine.
Yep.
The new Green Goblin was not very good. Electro wasn't very good.
Yep.
Venom was obviously terrible. But you could do, like, I'd love to see Kraven and Venom and Carnage, and I'd see Doc Ock again, and a Green Goblin who looks like the Green Goblin.
Mm.
Like, there's so many you could do.
So Vulture. they're gonna reboot the Sony Spider-Man as well. It's gonna be the version in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. It's nice knowing you, Andrew Garfield.
he's out, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. It's a shame we won't get to see the origin of all those villains in that vault. Like, here's your backpack with the octopus arms on it. Here's your backpack with the vulture wings on it. Here's your backpack with the whatever.
And they're like, this is great.
Here's your backpack with a scorpion tail sticking out of it.
Yeah. What a fantastic series of origin stories.
I'd imagine they just march through and they just pick him up and they walk out. Is that all it is?
Yeah, pretty much. That's all it is. Yeah. They just lean in and they sign the clipboard again.
Also, Sinister Six movie is apparently still in development. They pushed that back.
Okay.
But I'd still be very surprised if that happened.
I want it to happen.
I think it could be. I think if Suicide Squad works, which I hope it does, then it's more likely that it would. But yeah, I'm glad they're kind of if they do it, they won't use any of the villains which they previously had.
Yeah, I
like Paul Giamatti, but you don't need that version of the Rhino. Absolutely. There's only one character we know that should remain untouched in the casting.
J. Jonah Jameson. Yes.
And we say that every week, I think.
Correct, yep.
About every movie that we talk about.
He'd also make a great Rick Flag. I thought it earlier, but I didn't say it. But he would. He'd be great. Also great Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, he would.
The Hulk, he'd be great as that.
Yep.
Yeah.
He would be good.
We should get him on the podcast.
I'd love just to talk him, to that guy.
Just have him yell at us.
Oh, that'd be so good.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd let that guy, like, hit me as well.
Oh, absolutely, sure. It's fine. Yeah.
Not in a weird 50 Shades of Grey way, Mason.
No.
But it'd probably end up like that.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I did not. So did you see it?
No.
Okay, good.
Apparently, my brother saw it.
Which
one? The one you don't like.
Great.
And he said it was just horrendous.
Huh.
He messaged me before going in. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to enjoy that. And apparently it's just the worst movie ever made. But it'll probably make more than Kick-Ass. Not Kick-Ass. Well, probably will make more than Kick-Ass, but it'll probably make more than Kingsman. But, one more letter. This is from Stephen. Just answer this question to move on with the show. Is DC screwed? Batman v Superman is expected to be great, but now we have Iron Man versus Captain America with one of the highest grossing superheroes of all time, Spider-Man.
No, I think people are more excited to see Superman versus Batman.
Okay, sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think that's screwed. And we haven't seen enough of that universe to be like, this universe isn't very good. So we can't really know.
Yeah, true.
Yet. We can't know yet. But yeah, I mean, anybody who sees Civil War will see Batman.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think they'll be okay. Mm. Yeah. But there will be a lot of which one is better that year. There'll be a lot of that.
We'll answer it definitively on this show.
Next week.
Correct. Maybe later today. Who knows?
Yeah, but look, it's a good scenario. I mean, because as we've said, Sony don't own any of the merchandise rights, and Spider-Man easily makes the most money in merchandise.
Oh,
so Marvel always gets that regardless.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think this deal's been obviously, because it's been rumored for a while, so it's clearly been in the works for that long because they've kept making Spider-Man stories.
Mm.
But as with the X-Men and especially Fantastic Four, Marvel have just close the door on that.
Yeah, true.
You know? So I think they've been clearly building towards this for a while.
Mm.
But, you know, Sony will make a lot more money from this, probably.
And maybe we'll get a little of that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Just chuck something our way.
That's right.
We've got a Patreon. Just
Sony.
Give us.
If you're listening, Hugh Jackman, if you're listening, contribute to our Patreon. Patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Just whatever would fall out of your pocket, you should donate that amount. If you fell out of your pocket and you didn't notice, Hugh Jackman, bearing in mind you earned $55 million last year, you cheap son of a bitch.
Also, he was told as well, and he was like, oh, wow, that's pretty amazing. But you could see he's kind of like, I would like to be in the Avengers movie. Because he's mentioned that, like, multiple times.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, and he would be cool. That would be great, but that'll never, ever happen. Nope. Or maybe it will now that we're getting all this stuff.
Sure, yeah.
All this stuff is happening.
Mm.
Yeah, there we go. All right, well, let's talk about the thing that we're here for this week.
Yes, are we still recording?
Yeah, why wouldn't we be? Should we not be?
No, I'm just curious.
I think we are.
Good.
Yeah, man, we're at the
point. Good.
Now we're near the 30-minute mark.
Just checking. Remember that time?
What time?
When we did that thing, the secret thing?
Our dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Audio only.
Yep.
It was a good one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Anyway.
Back to it. Yeah, Kingsman the Secret Service. We saw that last week. You said you were going to see it twice.
Didn't have a chance to, but I'll probably see it again after this.
You said that. You say that.
Yes.
You've said it.
I have, haven't I? Yeah, can't take it back.
Well, look, we've kind of alluded to or flat out said what we thought of it. But what did you think of the Kingsman Secret Service, the movie?
Good.
Yeah, me too.
Good fun.
Good fun, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time.
Yep.
Did you have a fun time?
I did have a fun time.
I caught myself near the end, like, smiling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You did have a fun
and I've
time.
I've never smiled, and you know that.
I know that.
Against it. Which surprised me, because I don't normally watch something, especially that last 15 minutes, which we'll get to. We'll do non-spoilers, then we'll do spoilers.
Yeah,
but anyway, we'll get to that. Do you want to talk about the cast straight off?
Yes.
Or should we talk about what the story is for people who haven't seen it?
Oh, we should do the story. All right. Summarize the story.
It's amazing we don't have this down pat yet.
We're no good. The thing is, we're no good at this. So,
yeah. So do you want to break it down? Or?
So there's a young man. Eggsy.
His name's Eggsy.
He lives in the England.
The England.
And he's a
layabout.
He's a layabout, but he's a very gifted, skilled layabout.
Yes.
He can steal the keys to a car from a man.
Yep.
He can be in the Marines.
Yep.
He can be a guy who knows parkour.
Yes. Do you reckon that was him? Or do you reckon they CGI'd his head on?
I reckon they CGI'd his head on.
Yeah. Because that's some pretty swift parkour.
I know, right?
You know what? It's funny. I saw that parkour and I didn't go, ugh. Which is weird because I do every other time.
You know what? I think it was too fast.
Oh, okay.
That sequence is only like 2 seconds
and long. It wasn't a big deal. They didn't make a big deal. Yeah, of it. And it was only one shot. Yeah. So it just kind of followed him and he just, you're right. Sorry.
Anyway, he lives in a housing estate with his mum.
Spoiler alert, there's 2 seconds of parkour.
Oh, yeah. Good point. And he's not going anywhere with his life.
Yeah.
But then it turns out
that he is.
Yeah.
Well, basically, he's for whatever reasons, Colin Firth turns up and said, "Listen, I'm in this sweet secret organization where we wear suits and be cool and stuff, and we're basically like Royal James Bonds."
Mm.
This is exactly how he says it.
Correct.
Like, basically, right, Royal James Bonds, right?
Yeah. And so, you've seen James Bonds, right?
And so it gives him the opportunity to kind of do this, trial kind of course.
Uh-huh.
The most intense kind of combat training, intelligence, whatever course to become a Kingsman,
mm-hmm.
who are basically like the new knights.
Yeah.
And they all have, all their code names are knights from
the round table.
The round table, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a round table. Spoiler alert.
They just have a regular rectangular table, don't they?
With holograms. Mm. That's pretty good. So, that's how the movie goes. But correct. People probably already know that, I guess.
Because here's the thing. If you've seen a trailer or two for this,
yes.
You know exactly how it goes.
Yes.
Because the plot is completely laid out in the trailers, every action beat.
Yep.
Every action sequence has an element in the trailers, I think.
I agree with that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I don't think it ruins any particular.
No, I think I think this movie is more about the ride and seeing, you know, Eggsy interact with Colin Firth's character and that sort of thing. You know? Yeah.
Well, speaking of Eggsy interacting with Colin Firth's character.
Oh yes, the thing cast
wise. Yes, cast wise. Uh-huh. What did you think? Firth, in particular?
He's great.
Isn't he great?
He's great, and I'm glad he's finally got some actual action sequences under his belt.
As opposed to Bridget Jones?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, apparently he trained quite hard for that, and it was 80% of his own stunts or something.
That's amazing.
And you can see that in it, like he can move and...
Yeah, there are a lot of... We're talking about, you know, CGI-ing somebody's head on.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that guy did. I mean, maybe he did do it.
Maybe.
If Firth can...
Yeah.
Do some things we'll talk about after the spoilers. We can get this other guy.
Absolutely.
His name I can't recall.
Taron Egerton.
He could.
Or really? Egerton, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. Then he can do 2 seconds of parkour.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Isn't he? Yeah.
And this new guy, Egerton.
Yeah.
Let's call him Eggsy. It's fine.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Pretty good too.
I agree. He's the kind of character where you'd think this guy could really get on your nerves.
Correct,
and
yes.
And really be quite grating.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But he kind of has the same kind of appeal that, I guess sort of the same way that the guy who plays Kick-Ass does, I guess, in a way. Mm-hmm. He's endearing, like, he's a thug and he's... But they do a good job of setting him up as a sympathetic character.
Yeah. They also do a very good job of setting him up as somebody who wouldn't immediately die upon being, inducted into this Kingsman training program.
Exactly.
Like, he was in the Marines and he's a gymnast and he blah, blah, blah. Like, when he was a kid, he was born with all these skills kind of thing. So.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. No, you're right. Mm. Mm. But Michael Caine, though, thoughts? I've actually got a letter about Michael Caine, but...
Look, he's certainly Michael Caine's about.
Yeah, yes.
There's, again, after the spoilers.
Yeah, he drops the F-bomb.
He does do that.
I love how Michael Caine will do that. Yeah.
But there's certainly some Michael Caining later on in the film.
Yeah, boy,
right at the end of the second act, there's quite a bit of Michael Caine.
Indeed, Michael Caine's right up.
Boy, does he.
Right up. I got a letter here from Ali, or Ali, either way, A-L-I.
Ali.
Let's do it.
Like Muhammad Ali.
Exactly. Got a cool story for you.
Oh, yes.
I was hoping that was going to say, got a cool story for you, bro. That would have been better.
So good.
I know you're looking forward to the Secret Service. Well, my brother worked on it in the sound department.
Ooh.
He ended up having to put a radio microphone on Michael Caine and got to know him a little bit, as you do. One day, he said to Michael Caine that he had a date in the evening. The shoot was running long and there was an announcement for at least another 2 hours overtime. Michael Caine then kicked up a fuss to the producers saying, "I can't stay late. I have a dinner party to attend."
I can't stay late. I have a... Finish the sentence.
I have a dinner party to attend that he didn't agree to.
I have a dinner party to attend. It's not. That's not very good.
That's pretty good.
You just have to sell it as if you're Michael Caine.
That's right, yeah.
Don't wind that back and listen, because it doesn't sound anything like Michael Caine.
I can't stay late. I have a dinner party to attend. And he didn't agree to this.
That's amazing. Good on him.
The producers then all huddled together before saying that the running late is cancelled. As people were packing down, Michael Caine said into his radio microphone that only my brother and the sound team could hear, "See, I'm a pretty good actor, aren't I? Enjoy your night."
That's a great story. Yeah. That is amazing.
So that's pretty awesome. Big fan of Michael Caine.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember I saw an interview of him when I was a kid. It was on Parkinson.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, this dude's amazing. Like, yeah. I've never seen him in anything else.
For those, I think we mentioned this podcast before, but have you go on YouTube and find Michael Caine doing his Michael Caine impression? Yeah. So good.
My name's Michael. I can't do it. Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it justice. You're right. You've got to commit to it. And yeah. I did it. I pulled out halfway. But yeah, what about some of the other Kingsmen? There was Sophie Cooksman, I believe her name is, who played one of the female Kingsmen in training.
A Kingsley.
So I thought she was really good as well.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the others sort of fall into the upper class toff stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, there's not a lot of nuance there.
Yeah.
They're all, eggsy, you're not of royal blood, are you? Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Which, again, helps you kind of get on board with him more. You know? Correct. Yeah. Even though it's clearly very contrived.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. But the good thing about her is they could have, like, over-sexualized her.
Yes.
And there is a bit of that, which we could talk about with other characters, sort of. But she's, you know, just kind of in plaid.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's no romantic subplot at all.
There's not really there's one sort of ish Bond girl, sort of.
Yeah.
But not really, I guess.
Not really, yeah.
Yeah. What about Mark Strong?
Enjoyable. He's great in everything, right?
Isn't he? He's good. Mm. Was he good as Sinestro?
He was the best part of that film.
Yeah, he was.
I
mentioned I did a Great Moments in Terrible Comic Book Movies, and I put the Sinestro post-credit scene in.
Where he transforms into Sinestro Corps.
And people are like, but that scene doesn't make any sense because there's no like context for him to do that. I'm like, that's a really good point.
Yeah, looks great though.
It looks great, yeah. But no, that's a good, like, it doesn't build to that. He's kind of like, we should maybe do this if Parallax is coming, and they beat Parallax and he just does it anyway.
Right.
So, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah, not everybody else in it's fine. What about the villains? Like your Sam Jackson?
I think what happened here is Michael Caine gave some of his power to Samuel L. Jackson. I think Samuel L. Jackson is transitioning to the new scenery-chewing Michael Caine.
Great.
But yeah, he's fun in it.
Yeah, he is.
But he's kind of...
Do you care for the lisp? Didn't bother me, to be honest.
Didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Was only played for laughs a couple of times.
Yeah.
Fine.
And what about his henchman, Gazelle? Blade Feet Lady, yeah.
Not really a character.
No, but as a villain, as a henchman, the henchmen aren't characters generally.
Yeah, I mean, in classic Bond tradition, you get a villain who just has some sort of weird deformity which can double as a weapon.
Yes.
So Jaws. Yep.
Diamond Face can flick the diamonds out of his face.
Correct. Odd Job has that razor sharp hat that fits on his weirdly shaped head. That's his deformity. And et cetera, et cetera. So this worked perfectly well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no discernible person.
I think that made for some good fight scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh. But speaking of the fight scenes, we'll talk generally about them, and then let's get into spoilers. But maybe before we do that, do you want to talk about the suits? Because I know you're a big fan of
big
clothing
fan
in movie and in general.
In general.
Yeah.
Look, what is actually interesting is that the Kingsman organization, the Secret Service.
Yeah.
Organization. Their front is a tailor's called Kingsman, which is a real tailor's, and you can actually No, it isn't really.
Oh, okay.
But in the context of the film, it is a tailor.
Mm.
But you can actually purchase all the clothing that the good guys wear. Like there's I think they're British. It's called Mr. Porter. It's like an online retailer, and they have their own Kingsman section. You can buy all the suits. You can buy everything. Can you buy bloody Colin Firth's oatmeal-coloured cashmere cardigan? Yes, you can.
Would you buy any of that clothes?
No, it's all ridiculously expensive. Okay. And also, like, this is not interesting to anyone. The double-breasted suits, the lapels are a little narrow for my liking. British double-breasted lapels are quite quite narrow, and then I like a more dramatic lapel.
Okay, sure.
There you go.
All right.
Look pretty, and it's all like it's not like they knocked it all out in China or whatever.
Yeah,
like it is primo stuff.
So you do like it, or you don't like
it? I do like it, but I'm not willing to pay.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not willing to pay £1,500 for a suit or whatever.
Would you rather buy that suit or buy the jacket from Drive?
I already have the jacket from Drive.
Do you really?
In two colours.
Get the fuck out
of
here.
I have the, because it's like, it's the sort of the ivory one with the orange scorpion on the back. And I also have like the stealth one, which is black with the grey scorpion.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever
I'll buy a pseudo replica of a thing.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't particularly like the, like if you've seen the film, if you've seen the video game Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
It's not particularly good. But there's a company that makes there's a lot of companies that make replicas of the jacket that made it, and it looks pretty good, and I think I'm probably going to buy one.
All right then. Yeah. Is that a 3/4 length?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Right, I'm cool with that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good costumes.
Do you remember after when The Matrix came out, everybody was buying trench coats?
Boy, I remember that. it was dark days for everyone.
It was normally like a trench coat and just whatever t-shirt and baggy
cargo pants
and rubbers.
Like, some sneakers. Like New Balance went before they were cool. It's like the super generic New Balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah, good costumes, always appropriate.
Yeah.
Colin Firth wears a black watch tartan trouser and a blue velvet when he goes to visit Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Because it's a semi-formal dinner.
It's right.
Occasion, so you wear
it
that.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you like the suits, because I know that's so important to you, which means that's important to me.
It's not, though, is it?
No, it is!
Okay, great. Thanks.
I think for you, if those suits were off, you couldn't enjoy that movie as much.
Yeah, no, you're right. You can't buy, if we're going to go, there's one suit you can't buy, and that was my favourite suit.
Okay.
But we'll get to it spoilers.
Then. Okay, then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fight scenes in general, I thought they were quite... There's a lot of kind of shaky cam, but it's done very, very well. You don't notice. I mean, I guess you notice it, but it's not nauseating, or the cuts aren't too quick.
Yeah, it's shaky cam, but you can always tell where everybody is, which I think is the key to a good action sequence, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Is do whatever you want. You can do a series of long shots. You can do a series of super quick cuts.
Yeah,
but make sure we always know where the good guys are and the bad guys
are. Yeah. That scene in the bar fight, which is in all the trailers and whatever, and they've released the clip online, but that reminded me a lot of the bathroom fight in
World's End.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously different, maybe because they're both set in a bar. I don't know.
That's probably it, yes.
But I don't know. There's probably four major fight scenes, and they're all very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I can really... Whoever choreographed this and...
Yeah, yeah.
And the cinematography.
If we're talking... Just before we go into spoilers, if this is reminiscent of anything, for me, it is also quite reminiscent of X-Men First Class.
Okay.
Which makes sense because it's also a Matthew Vaughn film.
It does feel like it's a retro kind of time period, doesn't it? Even though it's set in the modern day.
Retro time period, but also it's sort of... This sort of weird team-based...
Okay,
like, not all of it, but elements of it. Like, you know, it's a team of young people and they're all trying to... You know, they're all trying out and training, blah, blah, which was a big element of X-Men, like the middle act of X-Men First Class.
It was, you're right.
Just everybody running around a mansion for a long time. And there was a lot of that in this, except this time around, they're all carrying puppies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon? We got any... We,
no.
We gonna say best movie ever or worst movie ever?
Do we say it at the end or we say it now?
I think we say it now because then review is over. And then we spoil.
And then we'll say whether we still agree at the end.
Oh, that's true. After we've discussed it ad nauseum, we're like, wait a second.
Best movie ever for you?
I'm gonna say best movie ever. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Definitely, it's probably the best movie I've seen this year. But I've only seen this and Taken at the cinema.
Right,
so,
sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff where we've said this before. If I don't think I'm going to enjoy something, I just won't see it. So I was like, I could go and see 50 Shades of Grey and just tear it apart.
Yep.
And you know, get 50,000 views. But I'm like, but why? Then I have to go. And I'd have to go by myself, which is weird.
Right, exactly.
Like, I will go to a movie by myself, but I'm not going to that movie by myself.
Right, exactly, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Lots of fun. Spoilers is...
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go back and see it again.
Right, it's super fun. I'm in. Thank you for inviting me.
Wait.
Yeah. So, the first fight is in the pub.
Yes.
No, sorry, it's not. It's at the opening scene.
Yes.
It's like a James Bond-esque chalet kind of beatdown. Yes.
That is the suit you can't buy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so that's the original Lancelot.
Yeah, yeah.
As played by Jack Davenport, who is the other love interest in the Pirates of the Caribbean
films.
Yes,
he is, yeah.
Who was aged very well. He's looking dashing.
He looks great.
There's This was reminiscent to me. There's a series of movies. They're not James Bond movies, but they're sort of a parody of the James Bond movies. They were called the Flint movies.
Johnny English.
Yes, that's the one.
The Flint movies.
Flint and Our Man Flint.
Okay.
And he's like the super version of James Bond.
Yeah.
Like, you know, James Bond could, like, you know, he could taste some wine and be like, oh, that's the Chateau Lafite 62 or whatever.
What a dickhead.
Yeah, I know, right? But Flint would be the guy he'd just sniff it and go, it's the Chateau Lafite 62. Oh, and it's from the northern end of the vineyard. Like, he's that. Like, he's the version up from that. Yeah. Like, he'd be like... Like, there's a scene in one of the Flint movies, I can't remember which one it is, but he's like, you know, that his boss, like his M, like the commander, is like, oh, you know, Flint, you know, you've got to do this and this, and he's like, oh, you know, I can't do it, boss, I've got a class at the Bolshoi Ballet, and the boss is like, oh, Flint, you're doing all these things, you're bedding all these women, and you're a super secret agent, and you're so amazing. How do you find the time to take a class at the Bolshoi Ballet? And he's like, oh, no, sir, to teach a class. Like, he's that kind of... And I think, like, I think Davenport was sort of modeled on that a little. Like,
okay, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, he seamlessly kills all the bad guys, and then he just takes the
glass.
He takes the glass of whiskey off the tray of the guy he's just shot in the head. Yeah. Like, it doesn't spill a drop kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's good to establish that all the Kingsman agents, they're not superhuman, but they've been doing it so long.
Yeah.
Like, if you were James Bond and you were foiling these schemes
every week,
like, everything would become so predictable.
Yeah.
And, like, they're these weird kind of stylized supervillain schemes every week.
Yeah.
You're just cutting a swath through everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty great until he gets cut in half.
Literally in half. down the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of CGI blood in this, which I didn't care for.
Yeah.
I thought it would be, for an R-rated film, I thought it'd be gorier than what it is. Not that I'm like, that's outrageous or whatever.
Right.
But I think there were bits where, and like, you didn't have to CGI that.
Yeah, there were a couple of... Even the limb cutting off scenes.
Yeah, that's exactly what
bloodless.
I'm talking about specifically. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. That opening scene's great, though. I mean, and it also has Mark Hamill, of course,
correct,
playing a professor in this. But in the comic book version, he plays himself.
Yes,
that's a nice little uh-huh. twist on that. There's also the pub fight, which you can actually go and watch that clip online. It's,
yep.
It's all there, which is,
or you can go and watch it in cinemas.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, okay, good point.
That's really awesome. Also, even though they are relatively bloodless or CGI, they are very brutal. Like, they look painful.
They look painful and, yeah, again, very fluid.
Yeah. And I don't think... Does Colin Firth even get hit in that scene? I don't know if he does. If he does, he doesn't notice.
In the bar fight scene? He gets his glasses knocked off.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
There's the first... One guy takes a swing. He pulls back very quickly. His glasses get knocked off. And the bad guy... Punches another guy.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the church fight, which is everybody's favourite.
It's everybody's favourite. I've spoken to a lot of people who, like, they find that scene very uncomfortable.
Because it's in a church?
Not because it's in a church, but because, like, it's established that they're all kind of... It's a church like the Westboro Baptist Church, where they're just sort of... It's a preacher of hate.
Yeah.
And these are all kind of... bigoted people who are presumably bad people.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, people I've spoken to are like, but is it okay then that Colin Firth literally kills all of them?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I guess the way they sort of tried to get around that was that he was brainwashed.
Yes, exactly.
Because I think they just wanted a scene where Colin Firth can just go nuts.
Correct.
Without having repercussions for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Even though there are repercussions, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true.
Yeah. So he just brutally
I think it's sort of played for laughs. I think this is...
Yeah, definitely.
Miller's
yeah.
like, well, you know what I'd like to do to the Westboro Baptist Church is yeah. I'd like to whatever. And, you know, there's a point where, you know, all of them pull out guns and whatever, and knives and things. And I think you're supposed to be like, well, yeah, if they're carrying concealed weapons to church, maybe they are bad guys.
Yeah.
But then that happens in America anyway.
Sure.
But with people who presumably aren't bad people, they have a right to bear arms and they're going to do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and they go to church. So
yeah.
Yeah,
we're armed for this podcast now.
Exactly.
Just in case. Yeah.
What if somebody comes and steals our data?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I guess there's the bit afterwards, though, where he's kind of remorseful for what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Very briefly before he's killed.
And I think the idea behind that scene is, you know, you can be this highly skilled secret agent, but you are still powerless against this.
Yeah.
This field.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's not going to be a scene where you know, through sheer strength of will, Eggsy, you know, breaks the control of it and fights back or whatever.
Yeah.
We know that if it fires up, everybody's dead.
Yeah. Kind of thing, yeah. Everyone's killing
each other. But in terms of, like, that fight sequence is amazing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely yeah. It is. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's the bloodiest one. Like, he impales people and
yeah,
just hacks it. Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Great.
Yeah. And the last fight, I think, is my favorite fight, the Gazelle and Eggsy fight.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, because I'd never really seen anything like that with the leg, the razor legs and whatever. Sure. And because of that, I like that guy so much that I want to see him win.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah. And because you got Samuel L. Jackson up in the booth with his hand on the thing, so there's this sense of, like, yeah, he needs to finish this.
I thought that was interesting, though, that I think they could have figured out a different mechanic, like, in the script.
Yeah.
Other than that, because that doesn't really make any sense as a device.
No.
Like, in a why would you program it so you have to keep your hand on it until everybody in the world is dead?
Yeah.
That seems like, but I mean, I guess at that point you're either in the movie or you're not.
That's right. So. Yeah. You're right. I think it was just an excuse so he could impale him and fall out of the window.
I kind of felt that also was a little.
Yeah, on the nose?
Not on the nose, but it was a little anticlimactic.
Okay, so you're, like, you'd rather see like a verbal kind of joust?
Not even. It's just he kind of just threw the leg up there and it hit him and he was like, oh, I'm dead, and he fell off the...
Did you like the bit where he's like, you're supposed to say like a cool one line or whatever?
Yeah,
that was pretty great. Yeah. No, oh, really? So you were like, yeah, that last bit, not as much?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
What about the explodey heads bit?
Again, a lot of people were like, well, that is better than the church sequence because we know all those people are...
They've made the decision.
To be evil and sacrifice all of humanity.
Including Obama?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you could do that in a movie. I guess you could just do whatever.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be some kind of... I don't know. Why would there be a law against that? There wouldn't be, would there?
Is it Obama, though?
Well, they don't say it's Obama, but you see, like, the back of his head and it looks like him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they actually got Obama in.
Oh, okay, right. That makes more sense, actually, yeah. Probably wouldn't agree to it.
No, he probably wouldn't. Yeah. The violence, though, in general didn't upset you, though, or anything like that? Because I know some people were like...
I'm very hard to upset.
Because, you know, I saw
you bloody roll your ankle, mate. So, wasn't upset by that, was I?
I saw a comment which was something like, how many like parents killed their babies when that machine went off? And I guess you don't think about that.
No, but a lot, I would say.
Yeah, a lot.
Because as we see, Eggsy's mum.
Yeah.
She has to be told to put the baby in the bathroom and lock the door and throw away the key.
Because
and then she does attempt to kill her kid. So I reckon...
Most of them.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's nuts. I guess you're not supposed to think about it, though. No. Really. I didn't think that actually set the machine off for that long, but they set it off for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like 10 minutes of people... everywhere killing each other.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Yeah, that's true. We never see any of the repercussions of that. We never, because you know, Colin Firth has he has all the headlines from the times he saved the world, and they're all some sort of, you know, he defused a bomb before it went off and blew up London or whatever.
Yeah,
and so it's just some. But
it's like Brad Pitt ate my sandwich.
Yeah, so the world never finds out because it's just some tabloid entertainment nonsense. But how are they covering this up?
Literally
everyone in the world tried to kill each other.
Yeah.
Do we see Eggsy's newspaper?
I don't think he does.
Okay, right.
I mean, I know he gets the tailors, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
Indeed, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. I know the scene at the end that a lot of people didn't like was the princess who offers a certain sexual favour
to
him if he saves the world.
Right.
Were you okay with that or...?
It was a bit crass.
It was a bit crass,
Yeah, exactly.
Probably didn't...
But that is, again, that's, you know, almost every James Bond film, especially the Roger Moore films, when it got really silly, was, you know, he's got a camera in his, you know, watch or whatever, or a recording device, so there's a camera in the...
And the Queen will ring.
In the escape pod, Queen will ring, and they'll be like, oh, the Queen wants to speak to Bond, let's patch her directly through without checking first. And then he's having sex with, you know, the Bond girl or whatever. And then you know, all the people are like, oh, Bond, and they switch it off or whatever. Well, it's clearly that homage to that where, you know, Mark Strong is he's the Q of this, and he's like, oh, you know, I'll close this over. He's earned his whatever. And but because it's an homage and it's Mark Miller, it has to be 10 times that. So
but this was,
I guess it was just a, yeah.
This movie, whatever we mentioned, is better than the comic it's based on.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And all the it's taken the best elements from it and added better elements to it.
Yes.
In general.
It's got more character.
Yeah.
It's got better suits.
Yep. It's got Mark Hamill.
It's got Mark Hamill in both. Yeah. It's got two main characters you can tell apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in this movie, you know, Eggsy, he sort of becomes Colin Firth towards the end, you know, because he puts on the suit and he kind of, you know, he slicks his hair and it's sort of, it's in memoriam to Colin Firth's character who dies. Yeah. But in the comic book version, they just basically look the same for the whole.
They do, yeah. For the whole thing. They are related, but they do look.
But they look exactly the same, and it's kind of hard to tell them apart unless they're right next to each other.
Yeah.
One's slightly shorter, taller. I guess. Exactly, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I also liked it in this though that they were talking about, you know, if you're a Kingsman, you don't have to have it speak a certain way or whatever. It's just about being a nice gentleman to people. You don't have to be like a toff or whatever.
Right, sure.
I thought that was a nice little kind of
touch.
And also you mentioned, you mentioned this to the Plumbing the Death Star guys the other week, who were great. I want to talk about that in a minute as well, because I went and did some episodes with them.
Oh, yes.
It was good fun. You should do it too.
Nah.
That I want. No, I will. That they do a play on the game.
Oh, sure, because in the comic books, there's a scene, and they're all the Kingsman recruits, I think, are guys in the original.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
And so in the comic book, because, you know, super spies are always seducing women.
Mm.
There's a scene in the comic book where these guys all go to a nightclub and they all have to practice their seduction secrets on random women.
Yeah.
And you get points if you get a phone number and you get points if you sleep with them or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's very much like, I don't know when pickup artists started becoming a thing, but I think probably it was
2007.
Maybe. Yeah. So it's probably, I think it was probably like, That's Miller going, okay, well, I can do anything I want, so I'm going to have this. Yeah. I'm going to have them be pickup artists because they're...
It's cool.
It's cool kind of thing, yeah. But in the in the movie version, it's more an expose of what pickup artists do. Like, it's kind of, you know, one of them comes in and they...
use a negging technique.
Yeah, they use negging, which, you know, he go. They're all the characters, the guys and the girls, all the recruits are assigned to... seduce the same woman.
Yeah.
And then one of them, you know, one of the agents comes in and says, oh, are they you wearing colored contact lenses? Your eyes are so beautiful kind of thing, you know. And that's negging because it's a compliment, but he's also saying you're fake in some way kind of thing. And another agent comes in and goes, well, that's classic negging.
Yeah.
He's saying he's put a compliment in there, but he's also trying to undermine your confidence. Don't fall for it kind of thing. And, you know, and then somebody else does...
Well, I think the main guy, Eggsy, asks a question which is directed to the group.
Right.
And then so the person who you're interested in fights to reply to you because the question is a general question.
Oh, I see. Something like that. Yeah. But then they sort of, you know, and I thought that was quite good in that I guess they had to have some sort of, because the idea that super spies all have to have all these super skills that they would have to put in this seduction thing because it's a big James Bond thing.
Mm.
But at the same time, I thought it was good that they were like, we'll just show maybe audience members, maybe younger audience members who don't know that this is what people are doing kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that there might be a lot of people in the cinema who like turn to the person who invited them like, hey, wait a second, you nagged me to get me in here. You son of a bitch. I would enjoy that a lot.
That'd be pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also the parachute sequence. All the testing in the facility, in the mansion, was quite good and interesting kind of.
Yeah.
The dog stuff, I like the idea that they had to pick a puppy and that dog kind of grew with them and they had to train as they went. And he picks a pug because he thinks it's a bulldog.
Right. That was fun.
That's quite good.
You would think that Colin Firth would say to Eggsy, hey, at the end of this, they're going to ask you to shoot the dog. So, just shoot it in the leg or something.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I thought the girl did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't... Like, I thought this is clearly some kind of trick.
Right, yeah.
Like, and it's weird that he didn't figure that out.
Yeah.
I guess he liked that dog a lot, though.
Did you call that the girl in the initial scene where the rumors flooded was actually...
Yes.
A plant?
I didn't think that actually anybody was going to die in this.
That being said, so the idea behind the training program is... They don't actually want to kill anybody. There's always limits.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're taught to act as a team, by pretending to kill one of the initial recruits. Mm. They put in a fake recruit, she drowns, and then they go, okay, well, you're not working as a team, you have to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
In the parachute sequence, everybody's got a parachute.
Yes.
Because they don't actually want to kill anyone.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, they don't know that. At a certain point, if she lets go of, right at the end, it's Eggsy and Roxy falling, and they think they've only got one parachute, and it's really touch and go as to whether Eggsy's going to, let go and kill and die.
Yeah.
At that point, how would he live?
He wouldn't.
He couldn't. Exactly. So if, they're like, well, nobody can die, but he could really die in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a certain point, like, even if he's falling and he lets go of Roxy, even if Mark Strong's character, Merlin, is like, now you've actually got a parachute, it's fine, he pulls it, he's still dead.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Don't think about it.
Don't.
Yeah. You're invested.
You wanted to mention the most Michael Caine moment.
He Michael Caines it up, doesn't he? But there's a... there might be a more Michael Caine moment, but I think it's the one where Eggsy switches the poison over. Yeah. And Michael Caine's like, ha! you poisoned me! I'm poisoned! Doesn't sound anything like him. Just commit to it. That's what I say.
You know what? I thought that was handled better in the comic. That was it. Because in the comic, the same thing happens where he poisons him.
Yes.
But what he does is you don't see him do the switch.
Yeah.
He just does it.
Right, yeah.
And then after the guy's dying, he goes, by the way, I switched it, because that's classic Spy School 101. You switch a drink every time you get a drink. Yeah. But in this, you see him go, oh, that picture's very interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
Swap.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
That's true, yeah.
Also, I can't understand why Michael Caine would agree to that plan. Because he knows that what they're putting inside everybody's head is a bomb. Because basically, for those, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it,
yeah, sure, fine, whatever. Stop listening now. Yeah. Go watch Kingsman.
Everybody who agrees to this plan where the population control, where basically people all kill each other, people who aren't affected by the signal have a chip in their neck, which means it nullifies it so they don't go crazy. So essentially, Michael Caine knows that Mark Hamill's head exploded. Because that's what happened.
Yep.
But then he still agrees to get one put in his own head.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
But he wouldn't have... He would assume that he was going to kill Eggsy and get away scot-free.
No, but even then, he wouldn't agree to Valentine to say, put a bomb in my head.
But that's his only option, really. Because otherwise, he's just shot to death or whatever.
Yeah, right? I guess you're right, yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Where are all the other Kingsman agents?
That's a really good question.
Because they all appear as holograms in the opening act.
Well, they make mention that they don't know which of the other Kingsmen can be trusted, so they don't bring any of them for the final battle.
That's right.
They know Roxy's obviously fine because she's new, and they know Merlin's fine because he's fine, and the main guy's a main guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing actually happens in the comic, where they just get all the new recruits.
Right.
Yeah.
What you could probably do, though...
Just check the scar.
Well, check the scar, yes. But also, maybe right at the last second, you could say, you could ring them all and be like, hey, we know some of you might be traitors. But if you aren't, lock yourself in a bathroom because you're going to try and kill everybody in a second. So just do that and we'll fix everything and then you'll be fine. And then we'll work on this later. And if any of you are traitors, we will kill you. If you're not, you live. See what I'm saying?
Well, they would have found out because their heads would have exploded.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Their heads would have exploded.
But they didn't know that, though, either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I buy the Kingsman Breton World Timer Automatic Chronograph? It's only $24,000.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want one?
I actually do.
Yeah, I'll get one.
We'll need some more Patreon money, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, cool. Great.
$24,000 for a watch.
It's a nice watch, though.
How is that even possible?
That's not even expensive for like a...
That's not expensive for a watch.
Well, I mean, it is, but it's not the upper end. Like, you can get $1 million watch if you really...
Do you remember the time when I went to buy a watch and you were with me?
Yes.
This was like early 2000s.
I don't, but go ahead.
And he's like, yeah, you can buy this watch, it's cool, or you can get the exact same watch. But
I do remember this.
It's $1,000 more because it has a diamond in it.
And the diamond was like half a millimeter wide. Like, I remember that.
No.
Yeah. What would I... Doesn't it look great though on your wrist right now?
Boy, does it! It's so shiny.
You can even buy like the Union suits, like the Churchill one piece Union suits that they wear.
But that black watch, how much is that one?
$7,500.
Oh, that one's really good.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, well, I guess we'll wrap it up. Okay, what about product placement? Did it bother you? Didn't bother me.
besides the clothes, which I enjoyed.
Yes.
What other pro placement was there? I didn't even notice.
There was McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And that didn't bother. I thought that was quite funny, that scene, actually.
And the idea behind that product placement ultimately is that McDonald's is terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, because he thought it was going to be some excellent feast that is worthy of a, you know, multi-billionaire, but it's McDonald's, and he's like, oh, okay.
But he rolls with it as well. Yeah, that's what's great about Colin Firth, because he's such a classy dude.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'll take the Big Mac. Wonderful. Like, that's really cool. Uh-huh. Yeah. How would you compare it to X-Men First Class and Kick-Ass, these last two films? Matthew Vaughn.
When you say compare, do you mean just better or worse?
Yeah,
or,
exactly, because that's how we do it here.
What was the one after X-Men First Class?
Kick-Ass.
Kingsman was my favourite, I think.
Out of all three.
Ooh.
It's probably more fun than X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's better.
I think X-Men First Class, I've seen it, you know, a half a dozen times at this point, and I think it's run its course.
Okay, sure.
Like, we did a commentary on it.
We did.
For example.
Yeah, we won.
TheWeeklyPlanet.bandcamp.com. Download that if you want. Yeah,
plugging the shit out of it this
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Then people can't stop listening 5 minutes before the end and miss the plugs. Have to keep going.
It's better than Kick-Ass, though,
I think.
Definitely. And I like Kick-Ass a lot, but I enjoy this more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But they also have, that's the same thing as Kick-Ass, where it just really ramps up at the end, like, big time.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it just goes bananas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In a good way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bananas is always a good way.
It definitely. It's definitely a best movie ever for me.
Oh, yeah, me too.
All right. Mm-hmm. I've got a letter here.
Oh, yes.
From Aaron,
the Hello,
official
Aaron.
Nick Mason. First thing.
I think we've already got an official Nick Mason, and it's not me.
I hereby reclaim my title.
Oh, I see. From the previous guy. Okay, cool.
I am now grittier and more grounded in reality to appeal to a modern audience. Second, having us all seen Kingsman, would it be premature to call it Movie of the Year? When I first heard this movie, I thought, oh God, this is going to be like that Avengers movie that had Sean Connery in a bear costume. Then I saw it and I enjoyed it so much. I really enjoyed the subtle comic book effects, which translated to unsubtle and fun head nuclear explosions. Mm-hmm. What are your guys' opinions on these effects? Kind of regards.
I thought the head explosions could have been more visceral.
They were very cartoony.
They were kind of cartoony and fun, like more fireworks than anything like that. Fine. I think they definitely should. I think it would have been more satisfying if they'd exploded in like showers of blood.
Yes.
Yeah. And sure. There's not really any, because they all sort of go off sort of all together. I think it would have been nice to see like one person's head explode at the table, people getting covered in blood, reaction shot, then their heads explode.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Got another letter here.
Yes.
I think that...
Oh, is it premature to call it Movie of the Year? Probably.
Yes.
It's probably going to be some great
in your face, Nick Mason.
Yeah, that's right.
Not official Nick Mason, not you.
No.
There's another letter here. I think that everybody horribly and grossly misjudges the rating systems of a movie at least once in their life, right? Mm-hmm. I know my dad has, and after yesterday, I know I have too. My 93-year-old grandma was in town for this week, and my mum told me and my brothers to take her out. So on Saturday, we started to see a movie. My brothers don't really care for movies and didn't know what was out, and they left me with a choice. I picked Kingsman.
Oh boy.
Which was a movie I've been really excited for and avoided most of the promotional materials in order to avoid spoilers. Right before we left, my mum did mention that it was rated R, but I assumed that it wouldn't be too bad and it would be more along the lines of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ugh.
I assume my grandma had probably seen stuff like that in her lifetime.
And also, she loves Colin Firth, one assumes, because it's Colin Firth.
Boy, was I wrong. By the first... few strings of foul language, I began to suspect this movie isn't what I thought it was. Then when the Roger Moore-esque agent was sliced in half in the beginning, those thoughts were confirmed. I looked over my grandma and she had this look of shock and horror on her face. It's hard to enjoy a movie with a sense of dread and guilt lingering over everything.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it only went downhill from there.
Oh, especially yes.
Especially the brutal church scene, set only an hour or two away from our home. that seemed to last for hours. The various exploding heads, the sexual references, and the full-on nudity. At the end, we asked her what she thought of it, and she turned to us and quietly said, "I don't think I like the I don't think I like the movies anymore."
Wow.
Overall, I like the movie, but I think I need to see it again guilt-free. Have you guys ever horribly misjudged a movie like this? Love the show. You guys are dickheads and all that junk.
Look, we may have misjudged some movies in our time.
Yes.
But that was back in the day before you could get previews on the internet instantly. Like, we could go to a movie theater and be like, oh, Kingsman, that sounds delightful. And it's got Colin Firth in a nice suit on the poster.
Yeah.
we won't know what that's like until we go in.
Yeah.
But now you can just put it up on your phone.
But he said no spoilers, man. He didn't want to spoil, is it?
I guess so. Yeah. Have you horribly misjudged? I can't think
of one. I don't think I have, to be honest. Mm. I've horribly misjudged how good something's going to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
Less so now. I think I've got a pretty good radar now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
If I think of one, I'll chime in, but...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, your grandma. I hope she doesn't die.
Yeah.
Because, you know... Jeepers creepers.
Yeah.
You know what it's time for, Mason?
Oh, yes.
What are we reading?
Oh, what are we going to read?
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? All right, can I just quickly say, I did a couple of podcasts this week.
Oh, yeah.
That are both out next Monday, the 23rd.
Oh, yes.
One was with NerdSync, which is an awesome YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we just talk about, you know, I talk about my channel and he talks about his channel and how to get started and...
Uh-huh.
Things we've faced along the way, including people taking away YouTube channels.
And is this going to be on YouTube?
That will be on YouTube and on iTunes.
Okay, cool.
It's an awesome podcast. He's done another one with like Comic Story, which is like a big comic book YouTube channel guy.
Uh-huh.
And it was a lot of fun. So there's that one. And yep. I'll remind everyone next week of this as well. But also Plumbing the Death Star. I went and did 3 episodes with those guys.
Jeez.
Which was awesome also. And the one that's coming out next week is Why is Hawkeye in the Avengers?
Oh, yes.
So, look, we mostly talk about the movie Avengers guy and how he's not so crash hot.
Uh-huh.
The comic book version gets more love, but the movie version, we'll see how that goes.
He does nearly shoot down the helicarrier with 2 arrows, though.
So yeah, but then he doesn't.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't. He's rubbish. Cool, man. I'll be on that podcast eventually.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because I want to get you on as well.
Yeah, cool. So, man. Yeah.
Right. Oh, they mentioned they're going to do at some point why is Batman in the Justice League one?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you should get my thoughts on that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, man.
Right. Yeah, both those guys. NerdSync podcast.
Yep.
And Plumbing the Death Star.
Yeah.
Check them both out even before I'm on them, especially before Mason goes on them.
Yeah. Good advice.
I'm also reading a book called The Martian by Andy Weir, which is about a man stranded on Mars. So basically, he's set in the near-ish future.
Uh-huh.
His team think he dies in an accident,
yep.
And they take off, and he's stuck there.
Ooh.
And the next mission is going. It comes back in 4 years,
uh-huh.
And he's got like not enough oxygen and food and everything for that 4 years.
Uh-huh.
So they're actually making a movie out of it. Ridley Scott's doing it with Matt Damon.
Hmm.
So it's basically. Is it Robinson Crusoe?
Where is it? It is Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah, it's basically that space. On Mars. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's good so far. There's a lot of like...
I have to call it Robinson Space O. Right?
Yeah.
Space hyphen O.
Hyphen O, yeah. There's a lot of like...
And the O is like a telescope and he's looking through it.
There's a lot of like combining like different gases to make water and whatever.
Oh, yeah,
and I don't entirely understand that.
Hydrogen and oxygen. There's only the
Yes, but like there's the method and whatever. And there's other stuff as well. Uh-huh. But it's great. I've been really enjoying it. Even though books are for nerds. So they don't tell anybody I'm reading books, Mason.
Okay. No one will know.
No one will know. Yeah. You got to watch what you read.
Well, I read Old Man Logan, which
is... Oh, yeah. I lent it to you.
It's pretty good.
Did you fox any of the edges?
Yeah, I foxed all the edges, mate. I bookmarked him by turning the page over and just bending it real, real good.
That's fine. I'm not too precious. What did you think of it?
Broke the spine.
What did you actually think of it though? Did you like it? Because I enjoyed it a lot.
It's pretty solid. There is, without spoiling it, there is a twist in it.
Even though we spoiled it last week.
Did we?
Yeah, I think so. No, don't spoil it. Though.
Yeah, there's a twist in it, and I feel that twist has been used. A couple of times in other
forms of media, quite recently.
Seems to be quite a regular... But other than that, like if you take it on its own, it's good
It's
fun.
A few years old though.
Like, good action.
It's been, yeah.
The Spider-Mobile is in it.
Yes, it's good. Spider-Mobile.
What else did I do? I watched the first 2 episodes of Better Call Saul.
Oh, me too!
You're across it? What do you think?
I like it a lot. You?
I like it. I don't know if I'm 100% on board yet. It hasn't grabbed me. And also, I do feel that we're 2 episodes in and we've already seen... Mike Ehrmantraut and Tuco.
Yeah, you're right.
I hope that's the only 2 recurring characters we get to originally in Breaking Bad. Because otherwise, I don't want it just to be an endless parade of, here's this guy, what was he up to, blah, blah, blah.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be kind of interesting to see what, Pinkman's up to or whatever.
But it needs to stand on its own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. No, I enjoyed it though, because he's very good, isn't he?
Yeah. I also did feel the premise is a little bit the same as Breaking Bad.
Okay.
But instead of Walt having cancer, it's...
He needs money.
He needs money for his brother.
Yeah. Because
his brother has another weird ailment kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm all for that.
Bad though. I'm going to give it some more episodes.
I'm going to give it all of the episodes.
Yeah, I'll probably also give it all the episodes. Oh, also, I listened to a podcast.
Did you watch Breaking Bad? Not Breaking Bad. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I'll get to it. I've got a week where I'll do it. Anyway, this is good for our listeners, I think. It's we've mentioned it before. It's called Girl on Guy with Aisha Tyler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Aisha Tyler is the voice of Pam on Archer?
Yeah, yes. She's a voice on Archer.
She has a voice. Lana. She's Lana on Archer. But she's got her own podcast where she talks to all sorts of guys in entertainment and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And episode 153, she talks to Stephen Amell, who is Arrow.
Oh, okay.
TV series Arrow. And he's very thoughtful and a genuine, down-to-earth, nice guy, and it's great.
He can do that push-up, that chin-up thing. Oh, boy, can he.
Apparently his biggest regret in Arrow was that he got so ripped in the pilot that he cannot maintain that anymore. Like, there's no way to, like, learn all his lines and film a show and do all the production, whatever, and also maintain this ridiculous exercise regime that gives him, like, several sets of abs.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Just layers of abs.
So now he's, like, you know, he seems like a really nice guy, but he does put his foot down. He's like, can we have maybe a reason for the shirtless scene in this episode? Do we need... Like, if there's no context, maybe I'll just keep my shirt on. Maybe that could work, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a good episode.
At least one a season, though, please.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to another... No.
Ah,
ran out of space on the memory card.
Oh, yeah.
We fixed it, didn't we?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is this staying in?
Yeah.
Great.
All right. What are we up to? Letters. It's time for letters, Mason.
Didn't we just do letters?
No, we were going to do letters. That was what we read in.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Ha!
This is, I don't know, this is what we read in a listener recommended one.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you mentioned this on the podcast, but you should really check out Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson. He's a fantasy novelist. He finished Wheel of Time after Robert Jordan died. And Steelheart is his take on superheroes. In the near future world, superhumans
are called ethics. I think this has been recommended to us before.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, cancelled.
But in fairness, I didn't check it out then. So maybe I'll check it out now.
Began appearing and using their powers to take over the world. A boy whose father is killed by an epic called Steelheart joins a group called the Reckoners to get revenge. Oh, yeah.
This has been recommended before.
Cool. All right. Well, there you go, Mason.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed.
Two recommendations.
I'm annoyed that people haven't heard every episode of this podcast.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right. Letters, it's time for letters.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hello, guys. I just wanted to say I really enjoy the show. Your jolly nature is infectious in all the best ways and makes me smile. Just listened to an episode about Mark Millar. I felt the urge to write in. He has always been strange to me that every now and then he'll write something amazing. Old Man Logan, Red Sun, but most of his stuff is crap. The premise is always, what if so-and-so was a dickhead? The Ultimates 1 and 2 was basically just, what if every superhero was a dickhead?
That is true.
You'd hate.
Yeah. I think a lot of the characterizations of the movie Marvel characters are based on the Ultimates a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Iron Man especially.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he wasn't as much of a dick in the regular Marvel universe until the Ultimates.
Yeah.
But boy, I'm glad they didn't go with that, the Ultimates Iron Man suit, because it is terrible.
Yeah, it's not so great. Is
very
it?
Bad.
Yeah, yeah. The most recent one being MPH, which I haven't read actually, where I guessed it would be, what if the Flash was a dickhead, and I was more or less right.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd said just then, I haven't read that yet. But
ultimately, I look at most of Millar's work and just think, yeah, I get it. I read Watchmen too.
Whoa!
Keep up the great work.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
And watch out for all them Draculas.
Yeah, mate.
Also, so I heard Hamill this week in an interview say Millar. Mark Hamill.
Okay, right.
And he knows him personally. Sure. So make
there
it that
you
what
okay,
you will.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Hi, Nick and James. My name is Dylan. I like this girl in my class, and I was wondering if you know of any good comic book themed pickup lines. Also, can I have the official badass unicorn? Love the show, and I hope it will go forever. Us too. Don't we, Mason?
Yes.
Any pickup lines? I recommend don't use a comic book pickup line unless you're super into comics.
Yeah.
In which case, hide your love of comic books.
That's no good idea. Good idea.
What about the Killing Joke monologue?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, tell...
I can't think of anything that would be... I'm a non-believer in pickup lines.
Yeah, exactly.
My strategy has always been just go in, mind blank, first thing comes out of your mouth. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's a good point, yeah.
Neg?
Don't neg. Don't do any of that negging. No, sir. Can I show you my enchanted hammer, Mjolnir? Don't say that.
No?
Don't say anything. No, look,
Just be yourself.
Just be yourself.
And sometimes that works.
Have nice shoes.
Have nice shoes is important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you wear a tie?
No.
At school?
No.
What if you're a private school?
Oh, then definitely wear a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's cool not to wear a tie.
Yeah, unless you want to be a rebel who doesn't wear a tie, then maybe wear it loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about picking up high school girls.
Yeah, which it's weird we ever contemplated, really. Yeah.
Oh, well. Good luck, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Don't hit anybody with a lot of comic book knowledge straight away, especially definitely, if they're not into it, because people do not like that.
Especially, even if she's in high school or whatever, but even if she has like a superhero-themed backpack or whatever.
Doesn't mean anything,
yeah. And that's not her being like a fake...
No.
She's not a fake geek or a fake whatever.
Sounds like she is, basically.
Yeah. It's just, that's the thing that's cool and you can buy it like Urban Outfitters or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people are just... Like, but you know, I don't know, have we had a discussion about fake geeks generally?
No, not entirely.
You know, there's always people on the internet and they're like, oh, there's so many fake geek girls and fake geeks or whatever. Yeah. There really isn't. Like, that's not really a thing.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, people, yeah. Well, people are like, oh, there's so many, there's fake geeks. There's these, people are pretending to be geeks just so they can attract attention from the opposite sex, you know, who they want to attract geeks because then they'll be the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not really a thing. So like, it's just that.
I'm trying to think if there even is an example of that being true. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there would be one.
I'm sure there's like one or two celebrities.
Like high profile ones.
Yeah, who are like, look, I need to capture a certain market share.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a good looking actor and I have to compete with thousands of
people
others.
People have said that about Olivia Munn.
Yeah, and see, like that's
Deschanel.
Deschanel not so much. Yeah. Maybe Olivia Munn a little bit. Where it's like, well, I've gotta capture this market and there's tens of thousands of other good looking actors. I've gotta find a thing.
Yeah.
So I'll put on, you know, black frame glasses and learn a bit about Star Wars or whatever. Yeah. But people in the real world are not like that. It's just that, like, we talking about fashion earlier.
Sure.
The fashion industry is just, like, the fashion industry just churns through things and it always needs more things to sell.
Mm.
And right now it's like nerd chic. It's like black frame glasses and t-shirts that have like Sonic the Hedgehog on them or whatever.
Yeah.
And people aren't buying those because they're pretending to be nerds. It's just, they're in the shop and they're like, oh, I remember Sonic the Hedgehog. That's pretty cool. I'll wear that.
Do you remember when girls used to carry bags with like pictures of Marilyn Monroe and Audrey Hepburn on them?
Yeah, boy, do I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm saying is there's no such thing as fake geek girls. But that being said, even if she's got that, maybe she doesn't know what you're talking about. So just be general.
Be nice.
See where the conversation goes.
Ask her if she saw Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah.
I think TV's a good way to open TV shows you watch. But if they say, I don't watch TV, I paint or something, walk away.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
There's arts for nerds.
Don't need that. Yeah. Got a question here?
Yeah.
My question is, do you guys appreciate watching TV shows more either like binge watching it or week to week? I watched Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. week to week and I enjoyed it, but my best friend binge watched it in the weekend and it's her favourite show. From previously official Speed Racer distributor, now the official food crumb in J. Jonah Jameson's mustache.
Fantastic.
What do you binge watch or?
It depends on how intense the show is,
sure.
I think.
Okay.
Like if I'm watching maybe like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
If I'm not, because that's a very light show.
Yeah, you can, that just
like
flows.
Like it's fun. If I'm a few weeks behind, I'll just get all, you know, four episodes or whatever and I'll just watch them one after the other kind of thing.
In whatever order.
Yeah, exactly. It literally does not matter. Yeah. But if you're talking about a Breaking Bad or a Better Call Saul, like I watched the first two episodes back to back.
Yeah.
I could maybe do one more.
Yeah.
And then I think I'd need a break.
It gets to a point where I know I'm the same, where I can watch it, but I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just doing this because I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Watching four seasons of Game of Thrones is going to be a breeze for me very soon. I'm going to binge watch those and it's going to be great.
I binge watched the first seven episodes of, what's that Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson one?
True Detective.
Yeah, I watched those all in one sitting.
That is very harrowing,
but I still was fine. If it was seven episodes, if it was eight episodes, I watched seven. If it was six, I watched five.
Okay,
whatever
sure.
it was.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, have a good one. Take care, mate. That dude who wrote
the
name. Official food crumb. Look after yourself.
Sounds very Australian. Okay.
Yeah, and beer.
Said mate.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that to him.
Oh, right, sure.
Yeah.
You sound very Australian.
Well, don't I?
With your lack of an accent. It was eight episodes. There were eight episodes. For
thank you. Yeah. One more letter from Jesse, the official prison warden of the podcast. Is there anyone... hey, guys, love the pod. Is anyone else concerned how prisoners are treated in the Arrow/Flash TV universe? Arrow keeps Slade Wilson behind bars in some underground jail on an island. Flash keeps his Freaks of the Week in solitary confinement in the back room of a Stars Lab. Of Stars Lab. I did Star think, Labs. Star Lab, sorry. That did concern me. I'm like, yeah. It's just a box.
It's just a box, and they've had no due process.
Nah.
Like, there's no... They haven't been put on trial or anything like that.
I mean, they're all bad guys.
Yeah, but I mean... Like, all of... Like, Arrow's villains are just... They're mostly just, like, murderers or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
Set them to the cops.
It's more the Flash thing that bothers me.
Set them to the cops, I'll kill them. Yeah.
What about the girl? Did you see the recent episode of The Flash, the girl who could teleport?
No.
And they put her inside a mirrored room. So because she can see somewhere, she can teleport there.
Oh, I see.
And she's just screaming against the glass.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, job well done.
What you should probably do.
And she wasn't that bad a person either.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what you should probably do is say, go to the authorities and say, hey, this woman can teleport.
Yeah.
Here's some video evidence or whatever.
Just keep her eyes covered.
Yeah, exactly. And here's this mirrored prison we built.
Yeah.
Have that. And then put her on a legitimate trial for whatever she did. Murder or something.
Yeah, you're right.
Or teleporting somewhere she should have.
There doesn't seem to be any way to get these people food or water, and there's no bathroom facilities. And we believe that the villains are left to starve to death in a pile of their own feces. What the hell? So, yeah, he's right.
He is.
Or no Jesse. Good. Could be. Yeah. It's an E at the end. It's a guy.
Like, I think if at some point in the series the good guys are put to task for doing that,
yeah,
then it will be a good resolution.
Sure, absolutely.
But if they just gloss over it,
yeah,
like I can sort of see in an episode of Arrow, you know, a supporting character or whatever coming in and being like, "What are you? What the hell?"
Yeah,
kind of thing. This isn't right. You guys have gone insane with your quest for justice or whatever, yeah. And then they have a realization.
There will be a moment. There will be a moment when they all get out.
Yeah, exactly. Of course they will. Yeah. Maybe that'll be the tipping point. Yeah. I guess. But
why did they even have all those rooms?
It's a really good question. Probably disco parties.
Yeah, I guess so.
Disco.
For Cisco.
Yeah, precisely.
All right, that's the show for this week.
We did it again.
I just wanted to say, we mentioned the Patreon already, / Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep.
If I finish a video early, uh-huh. I'm just going to chuck it up there.
Oh, good.
So if you donated any amount of money, I mean, you'll still see it regardless, uh-huh. But it might be a day earlier or a few hours earlier or whatever. Cool. So it won't be every week or whatever, but...
Sure. No guarantees, no promises.
No guarantees of anything ever. That's my guarantee.
That is your guarantee. Yeah. You guarantee.
Yeah. So I think that would be cool. But also, I wanted to ask you, Lewis has written in, and he said, wanted to know when we're going to do another episode and never go back.
Oh,
you said you're not working on Thursday.
Correct.
Do you want to do one on Thursday?
Yes.
Maybe.
Before 2:30? Can we do it before 2:30? Yep, okay, great. And these are details that are off the podcast details, but sure, let's do that.
Yeah, and that won't necessarily be up next week, but...
Take this week off.
No, but you know, I'll manage them. I'll Fernango.
Oh, I get it. You give it a good old Fernango. Oh yeah, give it the old Grim Fandango.
Also, I've been blocked out of my Facebook account for the Weekly Planet and Mr. Sunday Movies.
Really?
That's it.
So I'm blocked out as well, presumably.
Are you a person on there? Did I make you a thing?
No.
Oh, then,
I was just going to use the regular one.
Then we're all blocked out then. Yes.
What did you do?
Nothing!
Really?
They just sent me an email. I went to log in. They're like, we don't know if this is really you. Send us some proof of ID. And I'm like, I didn't even put this under my real name. So I can't.
Exactly,
I don't know if I can get it back.
Well, they're sticklers for real names now on Facebook.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess that might be done for
off in the wilderness. But
I think it still goes through... If I post something to Twitter, I think it still goes through.
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
So whatever. So sure. If I'm not replying on that, it's because I can't.
So if you want to just cover that in just racist slogans and whatever horrific please stuff, just as a joke, because we can't delete it at this point. So.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Fantastic.
Thank you for the Brute and the Basilisk for the things.
Oh, yes.
We like them, don't we?
We do.
We're not against them. We guarantee. It's
we
another
guarantee.
Guarantee.
Yeah.
Next week we'll do something else. Might do a topic, like best whatever or something.
Oh, best, absolutely best whatever, sure.
Yeah, I've got a list of topics.
Yeah. Where can they find us? In the style of Michael Caine. Wait. You can find, no, I can't do it. Oh, well, you can find us at Weekly Planet Pod. No, I can't, I can't maintain it for more than like two words. You can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter and Gmail and one assumes Facebook at some point.
It's still there.
What else? I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter and all those ones.
And the YouTube.
And all
YouTube,
that. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Pretty great.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the show.
Yep.
Yeah, mate.
If you've got like something to say, email us.
Send it to all that stuff. Yeah. Great.
Probably don't send it to the Facebook one because I can't check it.
Or do. Because you can't check it.
We could do some kind of meta heist or something.
Oh, Dad, yeah, we could absolutely.
Hack it.
Some sort of hack.
I don't know. How do you get around that? Because you'd have to, I'd have to be able
you
to
hack
talk.
The planet, man. That's what you do.
I have to be able, see, the problem with these things is that I've experienced this with YouTube. I've actually got this with PayPal as well at the moment.
Uh-huh.
It's like, confirm your identity as well. And I'm like, I didn't put that under my real name either. So now I'm going through that whole thing. It's just a nightmare. But I just need to talk to a person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you cannot. And I understand it's a free service.
Yep.
So why would they let me talk to a person?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
finding a phone number for PayPal is a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that one I'll clear up, but this Facebook one, I may not ever be able to. But if anybody knows someone there.
Yeah, totally.
Just.
Oh, we have t-shirts. We never mentioned, that. Our good mate, Golden Legend.
Yeah.
Just go to redbubble.com and search for Weekly Planet. And there's t-shirts. You can put them on any color t-shirt you want. You can put them on a hoodie. Yep. You can put them on a phone case. They all look really good.
Do you want to do a competition or something?
Yeah, let's give away a couple.
If you're a Patreon, we'll give away two. How about that?
Let's give away two t-shirts.
Even if you're, or if you're one now or you're a new one, whatever.
I always get very happy when I see on Twitter somebody will send us a photo of them out in the real world wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
Weekly Planet shirt.
So if anything, make Mason happy. Also, there's a thing up there. There's a bonus. Remember when we did that Versus episode? This has gone way too long.
So,
we did that Versus episode.
Yep.
There was about 3 or 4 verses which I cut out.
Oh, yeah.
And I've put them on the Patreon.
Uh-huh.
I will put them up in the podcast probably next month or maybe later this month on the actual regular as a minisode.
Yeah.
But you can listen to that right now if you want. It's like 10 minutes or whatever.
Cool.
It's okay.
Sounds
so
fun.
I'm trying to do more stuff, I guess.
Yeah. All right. We'll do another Never Go Back. What is it called? Never Look Back.
Never Look at a Back.
Never Look at a Back. Never Look at Baby Got Back. The Sir Mix-a-Lot video clip. It's very dated at this point.
It is.
Anyway, we'll do another one. We'll pick a game. We'll play that. We'll play the hell out of it.
That's enough plugs, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If anything, it's too many plugs.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Grab that gem, folks. Bye.